Everyone's a critic. And while this is certainly true of humans, we're not the only species on the planet with picky preferences. Take the song sparrow, for instance. The females have very specific musical tastes. Given a choice between the improv jazz vocals of a Mel Torme and the precise operatic performance of a Ben Heppner, there'd be no contest. Mel would lose out to Ben every time. You see, these female sparrows are somewhat critical of their mate's musical abilities. They prefer the males who know the traditional tunes to the ones who make it up as they go along. At least that's the result of a study just published by Susan Peters. She's a research associate in biology at Duke University in North Carolina. Ms. Peters, welcome to Quirks.
Thank you.
First of all, can you tell me a little bit about these song sparrows? What type of birds are we talking about?
Oh, we're talking about small sparrows. They're not particularly flashy in their plumage, but they have beautiful songs.
Where do you find them?
You find them all throughout the Northeast and as far south as North Carolina.
So are these the little brown things that I see flitting around in bushes and whatnot?
Probably.
So they're fairly common birds, in other words.
Very common, yes.
So what does their traditional song sound like?
It's about 2.5 seconds, and it's a combination of trills and other unrepeated notes. We might have an example of one.
I think we do. Let's hear it. Well, okay, that was fairly colorful little song. Now, how do the males learn these songs?
Well, they learn them at a very young age. They have what we call a critical learning period, and they need to be exposed to the adult song somewhere between the ages of 20 and 80 days of age. And they memorize these songs and then produce them when they become an adult a year later.
Oh, so the kids learn from the parents kind of thing?
They learn from the other adults in the population.
Now, what made you think that the females might be judging the males based on the purity of their songs?
Well, we knew that females use some song attributes when selecting a mate. We know that, for example, they might prefer males with large song repertoires. We also noticed that males vary in how well they copied song models. And we wondered if females could actually discriminate between songs that were learned well and songs that were learned less well.
Well, what do you mean when they don't learn it well? Do you have an example of that where somebody learned it well or didn't?
I do. We have a model song and then a copy of that song. And this particular copy is a very good copy.
Okay, let's listen to that. Okay, sounded pretty close to me.
Well, we can actually use some techniques called spectrographic cross-correlations that is a digital technique to see how well sounds match each other.
Okay, well, let's listen then. Do you have one that's a bad copy?
I do. I have another song model and then a copy of that model, which is a poor copy.
I could just barely hear a difference there. Of course, then again, I don't speak birds, so I'm not too versed in this. Now, how off was that?
It's a very subtle difference to the human ear, but apparently not so to the female song sparrow.
Well, how did you go about testing whether or not the females are responding to that difference?
Well, we use a biological assay called the copulation solicitation display. It's a mating display that the females give in response to males that they're attracted to. So what we did was we brought wild females into the lab and played them either good copies or poor copies of models. And they displayed more often to the high quality or the good copies.
How sensitive were they to that? Like, how off did the male have to be for them to get a reaction?
Well, we played them a number of different songs and averaged their responses. So they responded almost twice as much to the high quality songs as they did to the lower quality songs.
So why do you think they're preferring the traditionalists?
Well, I think that they know that they're familiar with the songs of the population, and they're using that as a gauge to measure how well the males have copied. We have evidence that developmental stress, for example, nutritional stress during the nestling period, affects brain growth in the males, and that in turn affects the ability of males to learn songs accurately. So we think that the song quality might be an indicator of the male's quality because it reflects the male's response to early developmental stress. And males with higher quality songs just may have fared better under developmental stress. And they're likely to be phenotypically or perhaps genotypically better.
You're saying their inability to learn a song means that they may not be as fit. But what I mean, I could look at it the other way and say, no, they're innovative. They're creative.
Yes, but with their innovation, the females have no comparison of what they're familiar with. So they can't really judge whether the males have, for example, undergone any sort of developmental stress early in life.
So how would the early stress that they undergo, if that affects their ability to learn a song, how would that affect them later in life?
It could be that birds that have fared better under developmental stress respond better to stress in general, and that they might have, for example, better foraging capabilities, or they might be more robust, or they might have a better genotype, all of which could contribute to the female's reproductive success.
Hmm. So does this mean, then, that among songbirds there is a traditional song that's been passed down from generation to generation if the females are only picking the birds that copy the song of the adults before them?
No, there's not just one song type, and this is the really fascinating part of it. There are many, many different song types in one population of song sparrows, and somehow, though, the females are able to tell which of any number of songs is a well-copied or a high-quality song.
Where does your research go from here?
Well, I think that one line of inquiry would be to determine if song learning quality is a reliable signal. For example, what attributes do males that sing high-quality songs have that would contribute to female reproductive success? Do they defend a territory better? Do they forage better? Are they more robust? Are they stronger flyers? And I guess the other fascinating line of inquiry would be to discover how females learn the songs that they're using to gauge male performance.
Oh, that's true. I didn't think of that. I guess the female has to know the song as well to be able to tell the difference.
Yeah, yeah.
Fascinating stuff. Ms. Peters, thank you very much for your time.
Oh, thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Susan Peters is a research associate in biology at Duke University in North Carolina.